Well, as it is Pentecost Sunday, today I want to talk to you from the topic Pentecost. How important it is to understand this day in every believer's life. You see, Pentecost was a Jewish holiday held 50 days after Passover. It was one of the three major festivals in the Jewish calendar every year for the Jews. It celebrated the Thanksgiving of the new harvest. Now, if we want to talk about Pentecost that we like to talk about today, you need to first understand Passover. And to understand Passover, you will find that between Passover and Pentecost, what actually happened on the day of Pentecost is that the people of God celebrated the new harvest. And this is vital for you and I to understand, because the harvest and the picture of the harvest being celebrated was the future picture of the church of Jesus, you and I, that will become part of the harvest of the work that Christ did, of the Passover lamb being slaughtered. So let us just wait there for a moment, because I need to lay a foundation. In the beginning, when God delivered his people from Egypt, we find that they were in slavery in Egypt. They were caught in slavery. They had Pharaoh, what was a symbol of Satan. Egypt is a symbol of the world that we are living in. And they were slaves. They were slaves in that system. And God sent Moses. He delivered Moses from the system. And then God sent Moses back and said, "Mo, go and deliver my people. Go tell them I love them. I have a better future for them. And I'm going to deliver them." So we find that when Moses went there, Pharaoh was not a happy chappy. He didn't like what he heard. So he became very hard-hardened towards God's people. And he said he's not going to let it go. So what happened is God said, okay, I'm going to show miracles. I'm going to do various miracles for his people to believe that Moses is the one, but also to show Pharaoh that he is the God that, of all gods. Are you guys with me? I'm just laying a foundation for those who don't understand the whole story. So what happened was, the last thing that God did was the following. God said to Moses, go and tell the people that what I want them to do now is the final act. They need to take a lamb, slaughter the lamb. They shouldn't break any bones in the lamb's body. But what they should do is, they should roast the lamb on fire. Then they should eat the meat as a family. They need to make sure that there's no leaven in the house. They need to eat unleavened bread. And they need to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. And if you look at the doorposts, the blood on the three corners of three doorposts, it is a symbol of a cross. So what happened the night was, every house that did not have that blood on the doorpost, the angel of death came by, and every firstborn in that house died. So what changed Pharaoh's mind is Pharaoh's son dying that night. The next morning he woke up and said to Moses, take your people and leave this country. Are you guys with me? So we find God's on the process of delivering his people. The next step after that was the Dead Sea. The Red Sea or Reed Sea, whatever, was the sea. So they got to the sea and God said to them, Go over the sea. But there were no boats. So what God did is, they did a step of faith. The sea opened. They went through the sea. Are you guys with me? And what led them on this journey through from Egypt to the sea was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now you have to stay with me. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That led them. It was always in front of them. So when the people got to the sea, Moses said, we need to go over the sea. He said, you're crazy, Mo. There's no boats. He said, but there goes the cloud. There goes God. So God says we should go over here. So let's go. Let's do a step of faith. So the sea opened. They went through the sea. And when you study the Bible, you find that the moment they got to the other side, the cloud went behind them. The pillar of fire went behind them and then covered them. So you look at this whole three things, you see blood, you see water, and you see the Spirit. Think about the three major festivals. Pentecost. What's the middle one? Oh, Christians. Eh? Passover. Passover, the middle one. Now Pentecost is the last one. Go study that. All right. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. Go study that. So the three major festivals. So you find blood, you find water, you find the Spirit covering them. What the main thing over here is, this all is a picture of God's delivering process in your life. How God will save us from being a victim and a slave to sin. God will get us from here to His promised land, and it will be the same thing. That's why it's so important for us to understand the three festivals, understand Passover, and understand Pentecost. So in this whole process, we find one thing, the cloud leading them, and then the cloud covering the whole nation. So by day in the wilderness, in the desert, they had the cloud protecting them from the sun, and by night, they had the pillar of fire that gave light to all the people. Are you guys with me? This was the first picture, prophetic picture, in the Old Testament that showed us how God would deliver us in the New Testament, how God will deliver His people. It was also the celebration. The Pentecost was also the celebration of the new harvest, which is a picture of us all coming into the kingdom of God. Are you guys with me? So, it forms part of the deliverance process of God's people out of Egypt. First, we had the blood of the lamb on a doorpost, then the crossing of the sea, the water, and then we had the covering of the cloud by the pillar of fire by night, and the cloud by day, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. These three main events is very important to remember: blood, water, Spirit. So, when they got into the wilderness, the Bible says, we saw a picture over here in Exodus chapter 19, a few chapters later. It's exactly more or less 2 months after this whole thing occurred. They were now for 2 months in the desert, and now God is calling them to Mount Sinai. He's calling them to Mount Sinai. Now let's read what happens over here, because this is the first descending of God's Spirit over His people, coming over His nation. He came down on the mountain, called Moses up to the mountain. He came down in the mountain to meet with Moses so that the people could know that He is with them. Are you guys with me? Now let's look at it over here. He says, exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey and keep my covenant, you need to underline that. If you will obey and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the nations on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you should give to the people of Israel. So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. And everybody here says? Amen. No, let's say it again. Amen. Amen. So Moses brought the people's answer to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, I will come to the big cloud. They will always trust you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Then the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Now, underline this. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. You need to underline that. Tell your neighbor a short pencil is better than a long memory. All of you are looking at me. You have to underline some stuff. He says, consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothes. Be sure they are ready for the third day. For on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. Mark out a boundary all around the mountain. Warn the people. Be careful. Do not go up on the mountain, even touch its boundaries. Anyone who touches the mountain will certainly be put to death. No hand may touch the person or animal that crossed the boundary. Instead, stone them or shoot them with arrows. They must be put to death. However, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, then the people may go up on the mountain. You have to underline that. So Moses went down to the people. Look how Moses went up and down. Don't you think we live in a time of grace? The man was 80 years old. Up the mountain, then down the mountain. Then up the mountain, then down the mountain. And we can't even get some of you to come to church on a Sunday. And you come by train on flat ground. I'm just saying for somebody out there. All right, so on the morning of the third day, thunder roared. No, I skipped a few verses. Down to the mountain. He consecrated them for worship and they washed their clothes. He told them, get ready for the third day. And until then, abstain from having sexual intercourse. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn. And all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. All the Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. Underline that. The smoke billowed into the sky like a smoke from a briglin, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. Underline that. The Lord came down to the down on top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain again. Then the Lord told Moses, go back down and warn the people not to break through the boundaries to see the Lord. Underline that. To see the Lord. Or they will die. Even the priests who regularly come near to the Lord must purify themselves so that the Lord does not break out and destroy them. But Lord, Moses protested. Come on, I would have protested as well. The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. You already warned us. You told me, mark off a boundary all around the mountain to set it apart as holy. But the Lord said, go down and bring Aaron back up with you. In meantime, do not let the priest or the people break through to approach the Lord, or he will break out and destroy them. So Moses went down to the people and told them what the Lord had said. What's happening over here? Here we find one man going up the mountain and the Spirit of God coming down in the form of a cloud and fire on the mountain. One man goes up, the Spirit comes down. This was the first prophetic picture of the Spirit of God coming upon people as man ascend up to God. God showing us that He will come, not just covering a nation or His people, but God's heart desire is to come upon an individual and rest upon the life of that individual. So the first picture of the Israelites coming out is a picture of God covering His people, the Spirit of God covering His people. But over here we find a picture of a man going up to where God is, God's Spirit coming up, coming down upon him, and it's God's desire. You need to understand what we as people lost in the garden through Adam and Eve's sin is the Spirit of God in our lives. And it's God's desire for you to have the Spirit of God in your life. But what happens over here is very significant. I want to show you something. You need to understand, I said to you, the first descension of God's Spirit was upon a group of people. The second descending of God's Spirit is upon an individual. And it's God's desire for His Spirit to come upon your life and to rest upon your life. And in this picture, we find that this is God's desire. Look at the following. God said to Moses, go and consecrate the people. let them wash, let them consecrate themselves, let them wash their clothes. Are you guys with me? He says, Mo, and when they hear the ram's horn blowing loud and for a long time, then they can come up to the mountain. Now let's see it there. It says, however, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, then the people may go up on the mountain. Now watch this. A few verses later, it says, as the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on top of the Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Then the Lord told Moses, go back down and warn the people to break, not to break through the boundaries to see the Lord, or they will die. Wow. Ain't this confusing? Isn't it? God is saying, listen, okay, cool, consecrate yourself. I'm going to meet with you. I want to meet with you. Mo, you're going to go up. I'm going to come down. And when the people hear the ram's horn, well, then they can go up the mountain. The ram's horn were blowing. Moses said, let's go. And as they were, let's go, as they were going, God said, stop, Mo, you come alone up to me. Moses went up. He get to the top and God says, go back, tell the people, don't break through. Now, is God confused or what? God, is something wrong over here or what? I want to show it to you. No. You see, I believe the people were not ready to receive the Spirit of God. Even though they were purified, consecrated, and washed on the outside, they were inwardly still immoral. And they were not on the standard what God requires on the inside. Stay with me. The reason why I say this, because the very next chapter in the Word of God, God gives His moral law to His people. When I read this, I saw how desperately God wants His Spirit to be upon and among His people, to stay upon His people. God saying, when they hear the ram's horn, let them come up. But then God says, no, don't let them come up because I'm going to destroy them if they break through. In this, I see how desperately God wants to fill His people's lives with His Spirit. But what I believe what happens over here is that the people of God, they were purified, cleansed, and washed on the outside, but they was immorally on the inside. They did not have the standard that God required. Because the very next chapter, the very next day, the greatest gift that God gave to His people was His moral law, the Ten Commandments. The next day He came and He gave them the Ten Commandments. And when you study the Bible from back to front, you find that the Ten Commandments was given to man as man's moral compass. It was given to man to show man that there is something hidden in man that is destroying man and keeping man from a relationship with God. And that is called sin. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, if it was not for the law, I would have not known what sin is. So it's God's desire to put His, let His Spirit come down upon a man. But because the people were not ready on the inside, God says, no, don't break through because it's going to destroy you. So what He did is He gave His people the Ten Commandments so that when they look at it, they realize, but I fall short. I cannot live to the standard. Morally, it's impossible for me to live to the standard. You see, but many of God's people wanted to live according to the standard to be right with God. Where God says, this standard can never make you right. This is only to expose to you that you are not right. Are you with me? So I want to show you how God, from the beginning, from the deliverance process, showed us how desperately He wants His Spirit to be upon us and stayed upon our lives. First, He covered His nation. Then the second one is Him wanting to stay upon one person. And He's inviting many to come, but they couldn't come because they were not to the standard on the inside. And many people today will never receive Pentecost upon their lives because they are not according to God's standard on the inside. They are not righteous on the inside. Are you still with me? They want to see God, but they're not born again. They want to know God, but they don't want to repent of their sins. Are you with me? The people were not ready to receive the Spirit of God. Now, the third covering was meant not just to descend upon people, but for the Spirit of God to remain upon people. So ultimately, I'm saying to you that God's deepest desire is for His Spirit to come and rest upon a person individually and then to stay upon that person forever. That is God's greatest desire. And when you study the Bible, you find that that exact thing happened with Jesus. Jesus was the first man that received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit stayed with him forever. Stayed upon his life. Now, why did it happen to Jesus? Why could Jesus receive the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus was morally right with God on the inside. The Bible says that Jesus was not born a sinner. He was born sinless in a sinful world. Therefore, God could pour out His Spirit upon him. Not just that, Jesus loved God because when He came, He said, I am here to do my Father's will and I love my Father. And Jesus obeyed the requirements of the covenant. Let me explain. He was not just morally right on the inside. He was obedient to the requirements of the covenant. Let me show you something. In John chapter 3, John the Baptist writes the following. He says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, listen, I don't know much. I don't know who. But I do one thing. The one that sent me to baptize you with water is the one that told me, if you see the Spirit remaining on a man, that's the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb of God. When you see the Spirit coming down and remain upon that man, that's the man of God. So why did it work for Jesus? Because Jesus was morally right with God on the inside, and Jesus obeyed the covenant requirements of God by being baptized. Amen. So John was baptizing people with water because God sent him to baptize people with water. Not sprinkling as a baby. No. Immersion. Underwater. And as he was baptized, Jesus came, and he was baptized, and he said, wow. He stopped everything. He says, behold the Lamb of God. And every Jew there knew what that term means. The Lamb of God means the one that will take the sins away. Because they've done Passover for many and many years, eat many and many of lambs as family together. And Jesus came to him, and then John said to him, no, you need to baptize me, because John knew the authority that was coming to him. And then Jesus said to him this following, Matthew chapter 3, you can go read it there. He says, permit it to be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. This is fitting for us to do what is right. Amen. In the eyes of God. Amen. The Bible says Jesus got baptized. The moment he came out of the water, the Spirit came, descended like a dove upon him, and it remained upon him. So what do we see here in Jesus' life? You can say we see the blood, because the blood of Jesus was sinless. The problem with us as people is that life is in the blood, but in our blood is sin. And God needs to remove the sin out of our lives. But Jesus didn't need the blood because he had pure blood. The second thing is the water. Jesus went to be baptized because God requires to be baptized. And the third thing is the Spirit came and Jesus had a Pentecost experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him and stayed upon him. And that same experience, Jesus promises to all people. In the Bible, he promises this to all people. But you have to understand, there are requirements to that type of covenant God is making with people. It's a promise to all, but then you need to obey the requirements of the covenant. In John 14, it says here, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Do you see it there? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will not know that I, at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Clearly, Jesus is promising a Pentecost experience to all. But he says the following. The people that will receive that will need to be people that follow his commandments, that loves him, obey his commandments. The second is, those people will receive a new spirit. They will receive something new from God, and they need to know him and need to see him. He says the world cannot receive it because the world can't see Jesus and they can't know him. He says, but you can see me and you can know me and you love me and you follow my commandments. Therefore, the Spirit will be with you. The Spirit will be in you. Are you with me? So how can a man see Jesus? Because clearly there's people that see Jesus and there's people that don't see Jesus in this world. And God says one of the things for the Spirit to come upon a man needs to be the following. He needs to know me and he needs to see me. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 19, it said the following. Do not allow the people to break forth to see me. Friends, it's God's desire for you to see him. God wants you to see him. And the moment you see him is the moment that he is going to start revealing himself to you so that you can know him. And then when you see him and know him, the Spirit of God will come upon you so that the Spirit of God can dwell with you and he will be your helper. The Bible says a helpmate, just like Jesus. Jesus wants to live with you through the Holy Spirit 24/7, 365, till the end of days. It is his greatest desire to give his Spirit to you. Pentecost, receiving the Holy Spirit, is after salvation the greatest gift that God can give to a man or a woman. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says the following. Jesus answered to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, some of you are looking at me with a strange tone of voice. You don't understand what I'm talking about. But that's okay. There was a man in the Old Testament that was a scholar of the Bible. He knew the Bible of that time inside and out. His name was Nicodemus. This man could not understand why Jesus was different. So one night he came to Jesus and said, Lord, Rabbi, we know that you're a man of God, coming from God, because what you do, we can't do. And Jesus immediately answered him and he said to him, assuredly I say to you, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Amen. And God knew that if you can't see, you won't receive to be able to know, and you won't be able to have the Spirit. So he said again to him, do not marvel what I say. You have to be born again. You have to be born of water and the Spirit. So friends, for you to be able to see and to know God, you have to be born again. How do you get born again? You get born from above, from the Spirit of God. The moment you reach out to God or go closer to where God is or climb a mountain to where God, not a physical mountain, but just by coming to church, maybe be a mountain for you. And you reach out to God and say, Lord, I want you. God promised when you reach out and come to me, I'm coming down with you to give you my spirit. God wants you to have the spirit. God wants every Christian on this planet to have a Pentecost experience. But the problem is many Christians are immoral on the inside. Many Christians don't obey the covenant requirements that God said. God said, repent of your sins. God said, be baptized. God said, receive the Holy Spirit. So, what should I do? You should be born again. When you are born again, you will see and you will know. Then he says, don't be fooled. You need to be born of water and the Spirit. Meaning you need to be baptized in water and the Spirit. Stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere. You see, family, Jesus promised it here to his disciples that he will not leave us orphans. He will come to us as he promises. He will go up to the Father. He will send down the Holy Spirit to come down. And the Helper will be just like him. So how does a man get born again? How does a man see God? Because clearly the Bible says the world cannot see Jesus. And that is so true. Because there's people out there that clearly is not seeing what I'm seeing. And clearly not seeing what you are seeing. And clearly not knowing what I'm knowing. And clearly not knowing what you are knowing about Jesus. They have to be born again. You can come to church without being born again and never see Jesus and never know Jesus. So how do you get born again? You see, the thing happened on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was now poured out upon the church. The first time it was really poured out upon the people, where it came not just upon Jesus, but upon all the other disciples. Was the day of Pentecost. What happened that day was significant because suddenly the people of Jerusalem were hearing these disciples speaking in other tongues and prophesying. Some were Galatians prophesying in their language, but guys from Arab nations understood what they were saying. It was totally chaos. Now the Jews were in Jerusalem. Looked at this whole thing and said, oh, those people are drunk, man. Then Peter the apostle stood up and said, whoa, bro, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning. Let me tell you what's happening over here. That Jesus, that man that you guys killed a few days ago, let me tell you what's happening. That man's spirit is now resting upon and in these people, and he is speaking through them. The oracles of God. Wow. These people, they knew Exodus chapter 19. They knew that if they love God and they obey God's commandments, they are the chosen people of God and they are right with God. But clearly what happened was this, they realized no matter if either I obey God, love God, and follow God's commandments. Are you with me? If I kill the Son of God, I can't be right with God. It's like most Christians today. Sleep around, drink, live like the world, live like the devil. But because you had a born-again experience once, you claim that you are right with God. You see, the problem with these men was the following. They realized that even though we are Jews, if we've killed the Son of God and this supernatural thing is happening now, we cannot be right with God. Now let's pick up the story over here. It says in Acts 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children
and to all afar off. All afar off. We are far, far away from that day. Says that promise is to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. What was the key over here? Number one, they were cut to the heart. Number one, they realized that they were not right with God. The second thing is, they listened to God's covenant requirements. Peter didn't say, you need to know this is the very first sermon a man of God preached after Jesus. The very first sermon the church preached. He didn't say believe in God. He didn't say have faith in God. Peter said this is the way to be right with God. Repent of your sins. Why should you and I repent of our sins? Because the moment we repent of our sins, we ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. You make a demand on the blood of Jesus. You realize that you can't save yourself, that you are morally not on the standard that God requires on the inside. But because of the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did, you believe that that blood can cleanse you of all your sin. He said, then be baptized in the name of Jesus and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will receive the promise. God's Spirit will come. You come closer to God, God is going to fill your life with His Spirit. So we find three very important things over here. Repentance, the blood of God. The water, the baptism. And we find, again, the Spirit of God as a promise upon a believer. And friends, I'm here today to tell you that God wants every Christian to have this experience. And every man and woman on this planet to have this Pentecost experience. But you can't have the Pentecost experience and God's Spirit if you are not morally to God's standard in the inside. In Romans chapter 3, it says, all fall short of the glory, the standard of God. So what God first needs to do, He first needs you to see Him and to know Him. How can you see Him and know Him? By being born again. How can you be born again? By repenting of your sins. By being baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 verse 4 it says, Jesus is speaking, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to him, it's not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Friends, I said to you, and I'm trying to explain to you, that God wants us, His people, men and women, to carry His Spirit. He wants to give His Spirit to us. But first we need to be morally to His standard on the inside. We cannot do that ourselves. We can wash ourselves on the inside. We can try to be nice on the outside. We can try to do everything, but we can't save ourselves on the inside. And God says you have to be born anew. You have to be born from above. You need to be born from incorruptible seed, from My Spirit, in the inside. That's what changes your life. When you do that, you need to get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, all this, there's a reason why God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a purpose. And here God says, you shall receive power. Amen. And the power and the purpose is to become a witness. Amen. He said in John 14 that when I leave, I will send you the Spirit of truth. Friends, there's a purpose why you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, to give you power to live according to what God, how God wants you to live. Number two is to make you a witness to the world by the Spirit of truth. So when you are a born-again Christian, you need to know that you have the power to live like God wants you to live. You have the power to be victorious as God wants you to be victorious. You are now the person of God, but it's for a purpose, to make you a witness of Jesus all over the world, in your school, in your marketplace, wherever you are, and also to speak the truth to people, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And God wants people to experience that. Because Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down to live and remain upon our lives. And Pentecost in a believer's life is for a purpose. It's for the power to be a witness, to speak God's truth to a dying world. The day of Pentecost, in the next chapter, chapter 2 in Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And with a rushing wind, God came into that place. And on them individually appeared tongues of fire. God came in like in a whirlwind, and on them appeared tongues of fire. And the first thing that happened was they started to speak in other tongues. Friends, the purpose of the Spirit is for utterance. Utterance to speak to a world the truth of God. Utterance to tell people about Jesus. And the utterance of speaking and praying in other tongues. A sure sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is through a person's utterance. You tell me that you are filled with the Spirit, let me see when you open up your mouth, not come to church. Are you a witness to a dying world? Do you speak truth when you speak? And can you pray and speak in other tongues? Especially pray in other tongues. That's sure signs of a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And today the world and religious churches and everything is trying to tell people that that thing has died the day that the apostles died. So the Holy Spirit has left this world. Because the first time the Holy Spirit came upon God's people, it was for utterance. And Jesus said, I will give you the power to speak. It's time to speak, church. It's time to tell the world about Jesus, church. It's time to tell the world the truth, church. Too many of you are just here for church going. Don't be deceived. What spirit is upon your life? Too many of God's people are coming to church for a goosebump, and they think that's the Holy Spirit. The purpose for the Spirit upon your life, we will see it all collectively through what you speak. And I want to tell this generation on Facebook and social media, I see exactly what Spirit is upon your life through how you speak on Facebook and Snapchat and all these things. I'm over quiet now here. When you are filled from heaven, church, you will speak like heaven. But when you are not filled from heaven, you cannot speak like heaven. But you speak like the Spirit that you are filled of. So don't fool yourself by saying that you're a born-again Christian, but you constantly speak filth is coming out of your mouth. You're not right with God. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You might struggle for a time. Listen, I, your pastor, had the filthiest mouth when I got saved. Every second word was a swear word. I couldn't say one sentence with using the F word and all kinds of word, one sentence. But when Christ came into my life and I received the power to be a witness, it was a matter of time when my vocabulary changed to start to speak truth. Too many of you are fooled by coming to church, have a goosebump experience and think that is God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit for purpose. When last did you lead somebody to Jesus? When last did you speak truth to a person that is dying in their sins? When last did you tell them that Jesus is alive, that He loves them, that He wants to be among them? When last did you baptize somebody? When last did you fill somebody with the Holy Spirit, church? You see, we all want the Holy Spirit, but we won't want to be morally correct on the inside. We all want the Spirit, but we don't want to obey the requirements of the covenant. Amen. I'm not angry, I'm passionate. Because some of you are speaking like the devil. Every second word is a swear word. At church, you've got a churchified nice on the outside. But when we look at your Facebook, your Twitter, and all these things, when you're just out of this building outside having a coffee, it's F this and F that. And the you don't lead nobody to Jesus. You never baptize somebody. You don't speak truth. All you do is speaking lying. I tell your neighbor he loves you. That's why he preached like this. That's speaking truth. You know, the world wants to shut truth. That's why they want to get rid of the Holy Spirit, out of churches, out of everything, because the Holy Spirit can only speak truth. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can only speak truth. So many Christians are running to places where the truth is not spoken. And they think it's the Holy Ghost. I promise you, I can take recordings of Michael Jackson's concerts that would look like some Holy Ghost parties in churches. Don't get fooled by experience and excitement. The purpose of the Spirit is to change, to empower you to be a witness of Jesus, to empower you to speak the gospel and the truth of God to a dying world. And until that is not happening, and to change your vocabulary, by the way, and to help you in other areas, and to love you and to guide you and all those things. But the main purpose is to give you power to open up your mouth and tell the world that there's a Savior, that you need to be saved to go to heaven. And today we use the Holy Spirit to get us to church. Is it possible for a professing Christian not to have the Spirit? Yes. Biblically, I will show you it's possible. I don't have the time. You can go read it in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. We find the Apostle Paul ministering. And as he ministered, I think it's in Ephesus or close by, in one of those towns, he came across a group of people that were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, they said they were believers. Okay, cool, are you believers? He says, and who baptized you? They said, no, we were baptized in John. And then he said, no, but you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And clearly in the beginning of the church, we found people that were not filled with the Spirit. So clearly, yes, you can come to church all your life and never be filled with the Spirit of God. And I tell you today, many people are coming to churches, but they are immoral on the inside. They don't know Jesus and they don't see Jesus because they never will be able to unless they get born again. Unless you reach out to Him and say, Lord, I know morally inside I am totally off the radar, not according to your standard. But I believe that when I touch the blood of Jesus, when I put my faith in what He did on the cross, His blood is powerful enough to get me to be born again. And when I'm born again, I know that I can be obedient to your requirements of your covenant. I have no issue to get baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you here today, a person that does not want to be baptized with water ain't born again. Period. Full stop. If you're still struggling with getting baptized, not as a baby, because that's not baptism, your heart has not been touched by God's truth. And you, the devil is robbing you from that religious mind, with that religious mindset, from the fullness of God. God didn't take them around the sea, He took them through the sea. They could have gone around. God said, no, get through the sea. Because one day I will send Jesus, and Jesus will say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. You want to know the way to God? Watch what I did. If it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for you. The bottom line is the following. God desperately, with everything in Him, wants to give His Spirit to you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God, that I need to encourage you today, while it is today, not to harden your heart, but to receive Him. Because God wants to dwell in and among His people. God wants to be in your life. In the book of Exodus, it is the clearest picture how desperately God couldn't. I read that and I came to the conclusion God wanted to give them the Spirit immediately. Because He said, when you hear the ram's horn, come up. Was so desperately wanted to give the Spirit to His people. But He realized that they were immoral on the inside. He had to fix it. So the Bible says He gave them a schoolmaster. He put them in protective custody. It's beautiful. You see, so many people wants to make the law of God evil. Oh, we are not under the law. You need to know who you are. You need to study salvation. The law was never there to make you right. The law is to tell you that there is something in you that doesn't make you right. If you deal with that through Jesus, God can change you. But without that, you won't know that you're a sinner. It is sin that is destroying your life. One translation said He gave the law as protective. He put us under the law, under protective custody. So is that to hurt you? It's not to hurt you at all. One translation said it's the schoolmaster that leads us unto Christ. It's the thing when we look at it, we realize, I fall short. And then God says, I've got good news. Jesus died for you. Have faith in Him. Touch His blood. And all you need to do is repent of your sins. Believe unto Him. Get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to climb a mountain like Mo. Up the mountain, down the mountain. Up the mountain, down the mountain. You don't have to live under the law, which is all the other requirements, not the moral standard of God, to be right with Him. You have a dirty thought, you need to kill a dove. Now you only had 10 doves. What then? Impossible. It was impossible to be right with God according to that. That's why God said, well, I'm going to send my Son, and He's going to die for them. I'm going to resurrect Him. And He's going to show them the way to Me. And when they see that, surely, when they see what I've done for them, surely they will accept that. And then I can give My Spirit to them. And I can make them game changers, because then I can leave them in the same situation. And they can then shift the dynamics of that situation in a different way.
One of the deacons stood up in the book of Acts and started to preach to religious people. He said to them, "You stiff neck and uncircumcised of the heart and ears. You always reject the Holy Spirit." They stoned him. You see, when you are not circumcised in the heart, when you're not born again and baptized, you can't hear and see. And then you want to kill the Spirit, because the Spirit is the thing that brings life. The Spirit is the thing that leads you into all truth. The Spirit is the thing that's your advocate and your helper. The Spirit is the thing that will never leave you nor forsake you. The Spirit is the thing that empowers you to say to your friends, "Come, come to my church, come to my home cell. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how wonderful God is." It's the Spirit. And the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit, it's death. And today is the day. Pentecost is this amazing day where God wants to pour His Spirit upon people. And I'm telling you here today, if you are here and you say, "Tabu, I've been touched by, in my heart about what you preach," I tell you that's a good place. Because if you get touched by God in your heart, the next step of making your life right with God ain't the problem. And the next step after that's not a problem. And to be filled with the Spirit of God is just a formality. And then God, He shouts in heaven. Shouting Him. Hooray! Now I can live with my beloved. The Bible says God is Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And His Spirit needs to live in you because you are His beloved. He's not interested in a long distance relationship. He had that with the people of old. Long distance. He wants to do life with you. With me. With us, church. It's all about Pentecost. It's all about you becoming a vessel of Pentecost. Jesus said, "You shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Jesus said, "You will baptize them and you will fill them with the Holy Spirit by laying your hands upon them." And tonight, God is today. God is here to tell you, Pentecost is here today. And if your heart is touched by God, I tell you, you're in a good place, because Jesus wants to give you that Pentecost experience. And maybe you are here today and you've been a Christian for a long time, but you just need God's Spirit to touch you again. We want to pray with you today as well. I know I kept you longer than I used to, but this is vital important for you to understand the importance of Pentecost and the importance why you need that, because you won't become a true disciple of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you so desperately desire to give us your Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that even though we don't believe always what the truth is, we know that today you are in this place to give salvation to some and to many, and to pour out your Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Thank you that we can have a Pentecost experience every day of our lives because of what Jesus did. Thank you that you sent Jesus not to condemn us, but to save us. And thank you that you said in your word that the truth shall set us free. Right now, I want to pray for people. Father, you know us by name. You know where we are falling short. You know when we are right or when we are not right with you. Thank you, Father, that you will touch our hearts today. And thank you, when we reach out to you, when we go up to you, you pour out your Spirit upon us, because that's your heart's desire. I pray for that manifestation right now to happen all over this place. And if you are here today, my friend, and you say, "That's me. I'm not sure that my life is right with God, or Tabu, I don't have the assurance of eternal life, but today when you preach, I realize I need to make right with God. I want to make right with Him." Then I ask you, can I please pray with you? If it's you that I'm talking about and you say, "That's me," quietly in this place, I want you to slip up your hand and just show me by hand. Just say, "Tabu, here I am. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to receive God into my life. I want His Spirit to come upon my life and to stay in my life." You know what? No man, the Bible says, no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. This is Jesus touching your heart with truth.
And all I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to Him right now. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to make up your mind to give your life to Jesus, to repent of your sin. Give it to Him. Turn away from it. Walk the other way. And God will change your life forever. Get yourself baptized. And God's going to give you the promise of the Holy Spirit that will come and beautify your life and get you into a whole nother level with God. Amen. I want everyone else to stretch out to them. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Just close your eyes. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. Ask for your forgiveness. Thank you that I know that today you receive me as your child. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me so that today I can have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Use my life in your kingdom for your glory and fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.